And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield and down the sideline he goes. This is storybook, an opening kickoff return for Damar Hamlin, and this place is absolutely going wild.
That is how the final Sunday of the NFL regular season actually started, with all of America essentially wishing Nyheim Hines into the end zone, which gave everybody permission to celebrate, to cry, to believe in the divine. The idea that not only was Damar Hamlin going to be all right, but now something eerie was officially happening here too. And a lot of strange stuff has happened in the NFL over these last 48 hours, by the way. Not least because after 18 weeks, we finally have our playoff picture. And so today, we ask Mina Kimes to explain a weekend full of dramatic plot twists. And what should happen next? I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, January 9th. And this is ESPN Daily. So, Mina Kimes, it is now midnight on Monday. And before we get to these two games that resulted in a lot that we got to discuss, I do want to lay out the two parts of your identity, I guess, for people who are not all caught up on you. Because on the one hand, you are like this deeply rigorous, empirically minded, fair NFL analyst, which is why we have you on the show and why we love talking about football. At the same time, you're a person whose wedding I attended and you wore a Seahawks helmet. And so the last 8 hours for you have been what?
First, I want to just let people know I didn't wear the helmet like down the aisle or anything like that. So just clarify the picture. There was a helmet at the wedding. Maybe I put it on once, but that's, just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's evidence. Yeah.
It was a pretty insane afternoon, in large part actually because of the way the NFL did the schedule, Pablo. Going into week 18, we knew that the Seahawks playoff chances depended not only on them beating the Rams, but also the Lions beating the Packers. And also that if the Seahawks beat the Rams, the Lions would know they didn't have a shot for the postseason. And so when the NFL decided to put the Lions and the Packers in Sunday Night Football, you know, there was some concern amongst fans that like, well, what are they playing for? Well, folks, the Lions are coached by Dan Campbell. They will always play for something. And that's exactly what happened. And honestly, it was just so much fun to watch that team close out the season in a way that I felt like reflected their identity.
I mean, he declared it like one of the great mid-game interviews of all time. He declared that they were gonna play this game to win this game, because they didn't want the Packers to get into the playoffs.
How motivated are you guys?
Yeah, we don't want them to go. So that's our motivation. So we're ready.
And I know we'll get to the Seahawks in a second here and all of that, all the personal angles on that for you. But like, watching what they did to Aaron Rodgers, I mean, where do you want to start? Both like the end of the Lions season, because yeah, they did not make it because your Seahawks beat the Rams. But also they seemed to accomplish something that was in its own way, like, legitimately meaningful.
Well, you know, I think for Detroit, this was a really meaningful way to close the season. First of all, it meant that they closed the season with a winning record, which I think is important when you're talking about a team that was going through a rebuild, that came out of the season, losing so many games. I don't think anyone anticipated it would end this way and that it would kind of go on the tear that they did over the last half of the season. So in terms of like establishing a culture, rewarding your fan base, and then making it feel like you're going in the right direction, this was the perfect way to close the season. And it was the perfect way to close the game, as I said, because so many of the things you saw, so many of the reasons why they beat Green Bay were things that the Lions have done all season long. Mm. You know, first, like, for example, the fact that after what calling a incredible play, on second and long, it was that screen and lateral, which just takes cojones. So Ben Johnson, who's the Lions offensive coordinator, is likely going to be an NFL head coach very, very soon. So that was extremely cool. Turns into 3rd and 3. And then they go for it and they convert. Jared Goff converts. But again, like Pablo, the Lions have gone for it on 4th down more than any other team this season. They've gone for it at the highest rate of any team this season. So it was very them. Mm. Dan Campbell, I think, you know, some of the coaching decisions he made, the game management, notably declining an offsides penalty so that Matt LaFleur couldn't buy time. These are
right
steps in the right direction for a guy who at the beginning of his head coaching career wasn't perfect when it came to game management. And then finally, like the defense ultimately blitzing Rodgers, which hadn't worked for much of the game, but then leaving Kirby Joseph, who's now the bane of his existence, back there to get the interception. Pablo, Kirby's picked Aaron Rodgers 3 times this season. That's never happened in NFL Rodgers' career. No player has ever done it in a regular season. So it was just top to bottom, like a franchise-defining win.
And then a franchise-defining post-game interview from Jamal Williams, who, by the way, happened to break Barry Sanders' like Lions single-season touchdown record. And again, I didn't expect to be talking about the Lions this much with you on the last night of the regular season,
honestly.
They're not
in the playoffs, and here we are. Because
I mean, Jamal Williams, come on.
He's electric.
Yeah, I mean, it begins with Jamal Williams crying, literally crying, paying tribute to his great-grandfather who had just died.
You broke Barry Sanders' record. What does that mean to you?
My great-grandfather died on me. I'll just dedicate this to him. I'm just proud. I'm just grateful to do this for him.
And then there's like a second act in which he establishes that we should probably hire him as soon as possible to do our job.
Another thing, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us.
Oh, man. It's Jamal Williams, you know, like to have that performance and then have that performance, just the perfect way to end this Lions season. Just so great.
But as to the Rodgers thing, another person whose voice we should mind, because he is talking in this press conference right now as we are talking, and it turns out he is saying that he is not going to take Green Bay hostage. He's going to take time. He's going to take the emotion out of it. But as a matter of performance, like, where are we with him, Mina? Like, what's realistic to expect after what you just saw over, this season from him?
You know, he struggled at times in this game, especially in the 4th quarter. He went 2 for 6 for 12 yards, which, according to Stats and Info, is actually the fewest passing yards he's ever had in a 4th quarter when he attempts at least 5 passes. But over the last part of the season, as the Packers were winning, I actually thought he and the offense looked good, and you saw the defense improving as well. You know, this is a team that had injuries throughout the season, that had rookie wide receivers who were in and out of the lineup and came on pretty hot at the end. And it kind of makes me think he's probably going to come back. And I also think, by the way, it would be very hard for the Packers to move on from him. So it might end up being a reunion that's mutually beneficial for both sides.
Okay, so the fact that the Seahawks now are returning to the playoffs, I mean, the way this happened, the way it ended, the way it almost ended, Jason Myers, your kicker, missing from 46 yards, just doinking it off the right upright.
The snap is back. The hold is down. Myers' kick is on the way, and it is off the uprights. No good.
What was your reaction when that happened and then as overtime proceeded?
Like 90% of the internet, I thought, ball does not lie when he missed that kick. As I'm sure you remember, Jalen Ramsey had just been called for hitting Geno Smith, who had scrambled out of bounds. It was not a great call. And in the Rams' defense, also, there was another not the great call, roughing Michael Dixon, their punter, earlier. But, you know, this all Seahawks-Rams games are kind of close and weird, even though this Rams team is obviously a shell of itself in many ways. And I wasn't surprised that it ended up being close and weird. Like, Geno Smith had some interceptions, some even would-be interceptions, but he also made some big plays with both his arms and his legs. And I thought the Seahawks defense did a decent job of containing Baker Mayfield, who, you know, he completed 50% of his passes. They sacked him 5 times. Mm. But, you know, I do want to say, like, to end 9-8, to get into the playoffs, for Geno Smith, in the process, to break Russell Wilson's franchise single-season record for passing is incredible when you consider perceptions of this team at the beginning of the season. So, you know, even as they're on their way to probably lose to San Francisco 49ers, it is a pretty amazing job by Coach Pete Carroll and, you know, Geno Smith that they've made it this far.
And yeah, also, just for the accounting on all of this too, statistically, he earned $1 million tonight, Mita, making, $3.5 million in total. All of the guarantees in his contract. Geno Smith, the guy who said, yeah, they wrote me off, but I didn't write back, though. Yeah, it seems to be, celebrating on a bunch of levels.
Yeah, it turns out the universe wrote him a check back.
Well played.
Thank you.
Well played. After the break, we go to Buffalo.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So the whole emotional roller coaster of today, it is worth noting, as we alluded to at the very top of the show, that all of this really begins in Buffalo. I mean, obviously, the story of DeMar Hamlin, his heart stopping on the field last week in Cincinnati, the fact that we got good news heading into this game. We got DeMar Hamlin awake. We got him alert, communicating with medical staff, with family, with his teammates, on FaceTime, on Twitter now. He's posting, he's up, he's back online in all of these ways, Mina. And so when the game kicks off and this happens.
Fielded at the four by Hines, coming straight up the middle to the 20, cuts it back at the 25. He's got an alley down the right sideline to the 40, 50, down to the 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Nyheim Hines, 96 yards.
What are you thinking?
I mean, I got chills, Pablo, and I always am nervous to kind of draw too many parallels between things that happen off the field and on the field and, you know, to try to, I guess, tie things up in a bow for like a storybook outcome. But I do think it is undeniable that for the Bills players, hearing that DeMar was conscious and communicating with them, it affected them deeply. And then to have that immediately, that sort of positive, I guess the vibes being so good, have that translate immediately to success on the field was, especially after, right after they had, you know, honored the medical staff, and you saw so many tributes. Yeah. It was a big moment. I mean, Josh Allen said, I can't remember a play that touched me like that. He said it was spiritual. And I think it's undeniable that the Bills players were feeling that in that moment. And, you know, it was just a really, really, really big one for them.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen was saying that, like, essentially this is proof that God is real, which is a thing you don't normally hear about special teams. but here it is, like a kickoff return to open the game, another one to help put away the Patriots, by the way. The Bills defeating them 35-23 to lock up the 2 seed. I mean, on top of the emotion here, from just a football perspective, what did you see here? How do you evaluate a Bills team, Mina, that was the favorite to win the Super Bowl, even ahead of the Chiefs earlier this year, but is obviously still riding, an emotional whirlwind?
Well, that kickoff return touchdown, then the second one, by the way, Nyheim Hines became the first player to do that in one game since Leon Washington did, I think, 12, 13 years ago. They needed those touchdowns. to win this game and secure the second seed and potentially neutral, you know, home field in the if they make it to the AFC Championship, because it was a bit of an up and down game for them. And it's been a bit of an up and down season. To your point, they came in as heavy favorites, but along the way lost a lot of players to injuries, have players coming back from injuries. I think that maybe certain groups that we thought were really deep for them, like wide receiver or, you know, the secondary, have ended up being not so deep, and certainly the pass rush having lost Von Miller. And so the games have been closer. I think this was a Josh Allen performance that was kind of similar to a lot of performances we've seen this season. There was a red zone interception. Mm-hmm. There were some mistakes. He was under pressure a lot, by the way. But then there were also like unbelievable throws. You know, I mean, in again, very Josh Allen fashion.
Oh, Mina, there's a lot of like, if you can't handle me at my red zone interception, you don't deserve me at my bomb to Stephon Diggs for like 40 yards down the sideline.
I mean, good grief, you know, and Stephon Diggs was incredible in this game. But yeah, I think they go into this playoffs as a very, very good football team, but also a pretty flawed one, which, you know, all of the playoff contenders have flaws, but they're just not quite as dominant, perhaps, as we thought they were at some point.
Well, in terms of flawed teams, I mean, we turn now to Miami because the collateral damage from this game in Buffalo, yes, it was the Patriots, which then opened the door to the Dolphins, who, to remind people here, had started 8-3, then lost five straight to Tua Tagovailoa, concussed again, meaning Skylar Thompson, the third string quarterback, happened to be starting the way the depth chart shook out. And yeah, they get the seventh and final playoff spot in the AFC. They barely survive the Jets by a score, and this is just gross, of, 11-6. What happened here with the Dolphins? How good could you possibly feel having made the playoffs, but like this?
Well, it obviously starts with the quarterback position, as you said, and that's going to be the big question all week. There's been no updates on Tua Tagovailoa's medical status, whether he'll return to play, you know, for the playoffs at all. It's all very up in the air. And then there's also a question mark with Teddy Bridgewater, who in the last week, in week 17, dislocated his pinky finger and, you know, couldn't throw after that. I think that's a massive injury to monitor because I think he gives them a much better chance at competing with Buffalo than Skylar Thompson, who, you know, just really wasn't able to do much through the air in this game. I mean, this Miami offense is just night and day from the unstoppable buzzsaw we saw earlier in the season with Tua. I mean, neither Jalen Waddle nor Tyreek Hill had a catch over 15 yards, you know, in this game. And I think,
man,
a lot, some of that has to do with the fact that, you know, I think the Jets defense is very good and they've been playing really good defenses as of late. It's not just the quarterbacking, but the quarterbacking is also a big deal.
Sure.
I will say, I thought the Miami run game looked a lot better in this one. They ran for 162 yards, over 5 yards a carry, which is impressive against the Jets. Raheem Mostert was fantastic, just grinding out tough yards and some explosives as well. But it's, regardless of who's playing quarterback, I think they're going to go into Buffalo as underdogs. And it does feel like this is a season that had so much potential in even being the seventh seed, but being where they are does feel disappointing.
All right, well, coming up, we get to the best, seemingly, and at the very least, the cockiest, objectively, team in the NFL.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So here we are. We're at the end of NFL regular season again, where, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs look like the team that everybody should be most afraid of. They're the number one seed in the AFC. They got the bye for the wild card round. They will play the Bills on a neutral field for the AFC title game, as you alluded to before, should they both get there. But the thing about this win against the Raiders on Saturday, Mina, as you saw it, like... What are we calling the thing they did? The dance move, the orchestration, the insult that they levied?
I believe Patrick Mahomes told Laura Rutledge, who was on the sidelines after the game, that they were calling it the snow globe.
Yeah, so we call it snow globe because we drew it up during right before Christmas. And we actually practiced it as like kind of messing around. And Coach Reed was like, I like that.
For those who missed it...
Yeah, please describe.
At some point in this game, the Chiefs, they're near the goal line. They, instead of just, you know, huddling and then walking up the line of scrimmage, they huddle and then they kind of join arms and spin around in a circle for a few seconds before breaking the formation.
I'll be very clear in case people missed this. It is literally that. It's like a thing I've seen in TikTok videos in weddings from Europe.
What's incredible, if you've ever done that, you know, done ring around the rosy or whatever, you're usually really dizzy after, but they managed to pull off a play, which was Jerick McKinnon taking a direct snap. Then he tosses it to Mahomes, who throws it to Kadarius Toney, who's the wide receiver they traded for from the Giants, who scores a touchdown. Unfortunately, the touchdown is nullified by a holding call by their center. But then Toney scores on the next play on a jet sweep, which is just like the perfect encapsulation of the Chiefs. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
No.
Nothing is too weird because they have a brilliant play caller, a bunch of crazy skill players, and of course, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. So why do this? Just to be sort of pedantic about it, maybe. But like, why are you doing this? Because it's against the Raiders. Are they really just telling teams like, hey, we might do this?
Yeah.
And you should be afraid of it? Is there strategy here?
I guess it maybe would have just been too insane to do it in the playoffs. I don't know why I use it now. I mean, we should know, like, as you said, this is a must-win game for the Chiefs. They wanted that one seed. They got the one seed. They got the bye. From a football perspective, they did it to hide the direct snap side of it, to hide where Patrick Mahomes was. And if you watch the Raiders, they look totally befuddled watching them, which is deeply relatable.
Understandable.
But yeah, this is Andy Reid, man. He just does stuff. And when it doesn't work, we all scream like our dad's too cute at the television. And then when it works, we memeify it. But, you know, I mean, you asked about it. The Chiefs look very scary. I think it's worth noting that, you know, this offense has been an absolute, you know, machine all season, as it always is. But the defense has really come on at the end of the season. And I thought in this game, that was actually maybe more notable to me because, you know, Jarrett Stidham who's the Raiders backup quarterback who's been starting for them, had just come off a pretty good performance against San Francisco. And they pressured him on 49% of dropbacks using a standard rush. They sacked him 6 times. So that bodes well for a potential Chiefs Super Bowl run.
Yeah. And Chris Jones about to play in the postseason. Mm. Chris Jones always horrifying in the playoffs. But the team that I didn't expect to see in the postseason, and maybe, you know, I know there are smarter colleagues among us who had the Jaguars as better than I thought they would be, but I was still like, I was still smelling Urban Meyer on this team. But here they are. Like, they beat the Titans in the de facto AFC South title game on Saturday night. They have this ultimate Florida man just shred the national anthem on an American flag guitar to start it, and then... You know, the game starts, and what do you see? What do you see, Mina? Because I want to celebrate the Jags, but I don't know how much to celebrate given how they played.
It was close, and it was not Trevor Lawrence's best game, which is unfortunate, Pablo, because he's been really good since the bye. He was really good against this Titans team a few weeks ago. So I thought that the Jags offense would be the reason why they won, but it turned out it was the Jags defense, which I guess... It isn't entirely surprising because the Titans were playing their backup quarterback, Josh Dobbs, who has like only been with the team for a little over a week or something at this point. But then the Titans also had, you know, a lot of injuries on their offensive line. But my big takeaway from this game was that the Jags defensive line took over, which also kind of makes sense because, yes, Trevor Lawrence was their first overall pick, but they also had the first overall pick last year and took Trevon Walker out of Georgia. Yep. Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen, was a very early first round pick, and he was incredible in this. The Jags have been bad for a long time. Let's just put it that way. And they've had a lot of really early draft picks. And I think in this game, you saw those picks pay off on the defensive side of things.
Well, you're talking about number one overall picks, and we get now at the end here to what the Texans did to the Bears. And I have, we should say actually that Lovie Smith has officially been fired. So the man who orchestrated this, the head coach of the Texans, now former, who orchestrated this defeat. And how do you want to explain what happened at the very end here that made, I think, a lot of us laugh and then realize, like, holy shit, this has real consequences?
Well, first I'll say one thing about Lovie Smith being fired. This is the second time now in 2 years that the Texans have gone one and done with a head coach. Both Lovie Smith and his predecessor, David Culley, are amongst the very few black head coaches in the NFL.
Yes.
So I think it's a very questionable look for the organization, not because of their performance, perhaps, but because of the decision to say, all right, you're going to come in and we're hiring you, and this is what you're going to get this length of time, which is something
right.
We see a lot with black head coaches in the NFL. Basically, they're given worse opportunities,
specifically.
Frankly. So I think the Texans organization as a whole is worthy of criticism. Now, that said, Lovey really kind of put them in a tough situation on the way out. Because going into this week, and it's not his job to tank and certainly not leaving the organization, so I'm not blaming him at all. But the Texans went into week 18 with the worst record in the NFL. They had 2 wins. But they knew that they had to lose this game to hold on to the first overall pick because Chicago was also not playing their starters and Justin Fields in the final game and had a shot at it. And so the thought was, well, they're playing the Colts, but still, we're not a very good team. There's no way they can win. So not only do they win with like a crazy drive at the very end of the game that involves a 4th-and-20 Hail Mary.
Davis looking. He scrambles out to the right. Got to get rid of it. Throws it to the end zone and caught it. Jordan Akins. My goodness. On 4th-and-20. Akins with the catch.
And then Smith makes the decision to go for two, to go for the win, and they do. And so what this means is that the Texans don't have a clean choice at the top of the draft to take a quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young out of Alabama, CJ Stroud, Ohio State. Chicago is now in the catbird seat. And as a team with a quarterback, Pablo, that means that pick could be open for business. So that decision by the Texans,
man,
who, you know, the players play to win, the coach is playing to win, they're thrilled after the game. It's great for them. But that decision to win is going to change the landscape of the NFL for years and years. And I think we'll look back on it as a pretty remarkable moment.
I mean, the fact that the Texans, because they were 3-13-1 and now are in the number 2 slot because the Bears are just 3-14. I thought that, you know, like taking a stapler on the way out of work was like a pretty risque thing to do revenge wise. But Lovie Smith, man, just a middle finger that, yeah, changed the NFL. I can only salute this man.
And a Bears legend.
Mina Kimes, a Seahawks legend who has clearly restrained her emotions to provide us rationality. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.